Gentlemen, we're going to carry on a little bit in Hilchos Yom Tov. Tonight's Shir is Seif Dalet, which I heard once that this is the most often misquoted Shulchan Aruch, certainly in Hilchos Yom Tov, perhaps even in the whole Shulchan Aruch. He may possibly be one of the most widely and commonly misquoted Shulchan Aruch. In a bad way, in a very bad way. So the words of the Shulchan Aruch are as follows. Siv Dalet. Muktzah. We all know what we call Muktzah, and we're going to get to that shortly. Muktzah afal pishe mutter b'Shabbos. Although it is permitted, afal pishe mutter on Shabbos, hechmiru boi b'yom tev v'asaruhu. On Yom Tev, it is, however, awesome. So Muktzah, although it is mutter on Shabbos, hechmiru boi b'yom tev v'asur, on Yom Tev, we are more stringent and we forbid it. V'yesh matirin, and continues the Ramah, v'yesh matirin muktzah afilu b'yom tev, some allow muktzah even on Yom Tev. Some allow muktzah even on Yom Tev. So this is very, it may appear a bit confusing. What does that mean that we are matir muktzah on Yom Tev? We are matir muktzah on Yom Tev. So this does not mean what it may appear to mean, that muktzah, the rule of muktzah being permitted on Yom Tev. I mean, that would be muktzah. I mean, Rumah says, v'yesh matirin muktzah filo b'yom tev. Muktzah being permitted on Yom Tev. So what does that really mean? So the Mishnah over here gives a very important additional explanation over here. Muktzah afal pishur mutter v'chulu perish. Tere elbasim in shin yud mispadish kama minei muktzah motorim b'shabbos. Okay, but we've got to understand, it's actually a very important chazor of Hilchos Shabbos as well. When it comes to Hilchos Muktzah, there's various types of muktzah. There's several categories of muktzah on Shabbos. K'moy muktzah machmashoy. But this chayr, for instance, a muktzah which is something which is about to be sold, that's a category of muktzah. So that's set aside. Muktzah obviously means set aside. So something you're going to sell, that's something which is set aside, and therefore you cannot use it on Shabbos. That's muktzah. Muktzah machmashayim l'ischoy. You want to sell it? It's set aside. Or for instance, b'shechnisu le'oitza, something which is kept for storage. Ve'in da'ato le'istapik menu, you don't want to take from it ad achazman, until after the zman. These are designated things which you know you're not going to use on Shabbos. Hoy muktzah machmasmius, for instance, something which is set aside, separated, because it's something which is disgusting. You don't want to use it. V'oid kama gavlin, similar examples as well. Ach kol ze, all those ikilu dafke b'Shabbos tochom le'inchi. V'loi chashinu imnokilo l'taltot v'amuktziyov le'arkel b'shar yisuri Shabbos. He says as follows: these are all things. These are all items which you don't expect to use. The words of Shmuel Shtebu was these are all items which are set aside. You don't intend, or rather, you don't expect to use those things on Shabbos. Now, what muktzah is really something which is depending on your mind. Things which are not usable, as an example, something which is not usable at all, that is something which is muktzah and has nothing really got to do with your mind. Something which you cannot use, something which is broken, something which is no usage at all on Shabbos, because you only use it for melacha. That is something which is set aside and it's muktzah, it doesn't depend on your mind at all. However, there are many items, and that's a separate category, which are items which you don't expect to use. It's not something that you can't use, but you don't expect to use. They are usable items, but you don't expect to use them. on Shabbos. Those are also generally set aside, that are also generally muktzah. But those, we are more lenient when it comes to it. And therefore, but that's what the Rama says, Yesh matir muktzah filo b'yamtev. Those items are something which on Yom Tov we are lenient. And we are allowed to use them, although you didn't intend to use them, you didn't expect to use them, but it's something which had potentially a use on Yom Tov, those remain mutter, although you didn't expect to use them, but since you can use them. So the examples are the following. The examples given are the following. So one was the something which is for sale, something which is meant for storage, you didn't plan to use from it, something which is we didn't plan to use generally, but you can use. Those are items that we are allowing you to use on Yom Tov. The Mishnah continues. But on Yom Tov, which is more lenient, since on Yom Tov various melachas are permitted for Eichel Nefesh purposes, and if, so now he's explaining the former opinion. The former opinion was stringent. The stringent opinion held, if you were to be lenient with muktzah, since there is anyway quite a leeway with regards to melachas, we are worried that he's also going to end up doing too much, and therefore we have to be extra stringent. And that's why we are stringent with regards to muktzah on Yom Tov. Therefore we are stringent with regards to muktzah on Yom. That was the former opinion. The Rama, however, is lenient. And he says, and that's how the Rama is lenient. The Rama says, some say that no, though in that category of something which you don't expect to use, but is really something which you can use, that the Rama is lenient. So that's the category the Machloek is about. So I want just to clarify that. When we say over the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Mukta, having a Machloek as to whether Mukta can be carried on Yom Tov or not. And the Rama says that Mukta is permitted on Yom Tov. He is not referring to a general, to overall, the overarching, the general rule of Mukta. No, of course, Mukta does exist. The concept of Mukta does exist on Yom Tov too. What we are referring to is a specific category of Mukta. And this specific category of Mukta is permitted on Yom Tov. What is that specific category of Mukta that we are allowing to move around on Yom Tov? That is something which is an item which can be used, but you didn't plan to use. Something which you plan to sell. Something which you was planned for storage only. Something which you didn't plan to use on Shabbos at all, but you can use it. It's not something which has no use on Yom Tov, and therefore that would be a category which is permitted. Does that make sense at all what I'm saying? I'm trying to... Yes, for instance, a spade, for instance, has no use on Yom Tov. A spade remains mukta on Yom Tov too. A spade, that's only for malach. You can't do that. Or what's another item? Something which is... anything which is... which you cannot... It won't be another example. Something which has no use on Yom Tov and therefore remains mukta. What would be an example for that? Yeah, give us a concrete example.
A stone.
Yeah, I suppose a stone. Yeah, a stone. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, I mean, something which can only be used for melachas. I don't know, your phone. I don't know, I'm just thinking of an example. That remains muktzah. It's not something which you can use, that's something which you can't use. And therefore it's going to remain muktzah on Yom Tov too.
Could you give us an example of the categories of would-be muktzah which are available to use on Yom Tov?
Yeah, so say, open example, a contemporary example. Can somebody help me out? A contemporary example of something which you didn't plan. I can't hear.
Something used for cooking.
Yeah, so most items for cooking are probably not mukta anyway, because you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, so they're probably not even. Yeah, but Yeah, okay. For sure, the pots and saucepans and frying pans, etc. They are takana mukta. Let me think of anything else. Does the Mishnah Berurah give any further examples? Let me have a look. Another example of something which we didn't expect to use, but you can use.
Could you say a hammer to open nuts?
Yeah, perhaps that's a good example. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would probably not even be, if it's a hammer which can be regularly used for, if it's a hammer that can be used for nuts, then it probably wouldn't be falling in the category of mukts in the first place. And if it's a hammer which you cannot use for nuts, then it's probably it remains mukts on Yom Tov too. Let's think of something else. Something which can be used, but you didn't plan to use. You know, some people keep... I can't think of anything...
I'm thinking of Kisui Hadam. About sand for Kisui Hadam. You didn't plan to use it.
Right. Because you can shecht on Yom Tov, so therefore you didn't plan to use it. So you didn't plan to use it, and you end up. Yeah, okay. I think that's a good example. Yeah, I think I agree with that. Yeah, sounds right. Yeah, okay. That would probably be good examples. That would be good examples. Continues the Rambam with another rule. Aval noilat osre divrema filu b'Shabbos. When it comes to noilat the isav, noilat remains on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So noilat is something which is newly born or newly created on Shabbos or Yom Tov that remains prohibited on Yom Tov too. The Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot New Zion tells us the following. Although there are authorities who allow the mukta of Noilat on Yom Tov, the Ramah doesn't want to be lenient. So the Ramah is stringent and does not allow the moving around of Noilat on Yom Tov. The Mishnah Berurah then carries on with the following example. Lefize, I'm skipping a line. Lefize and letatel atzomois shenispakum in abos of Yom Tov. Therefore, if there's bones sticking out of the meat on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move it around. Afal b'shein roin leklavim, although you can't be really be thrown to dogs, because yesterday when the meat was still attached to the bone, it was a different identity. Therefore, now that you only have the bones, it is noilat. So that's an interesting halacha. So what he's telling us, if you have got meat with bones, you look at it as one item. This is meat with bones. Now, when I eat the meat on Yom Tov, I enjoy the meat, and now all I have is the bones. So now, really, the way the Mishnah Berurah looks at it is that the bones being noilat, it's a new identity now. Before I had meat, which had meat, had flesh, and it had bones. And that was looked as one item. Now that I've eaten the flesh, and now there's only the bones, which are detached and single identity of bones. Now we look at this being noilat. It's newly born. These bones are newly born. This is considered noilat, and therefore, according to the Mishnah Berurah here, who is explaining the Ramah, this is now considered noilat and is mukta. Of course, it's true. At times, it's machmas mus, you can still chuck it, and at times there's rules applying that you can actually put it away. It's true. But in principle, we've got to appreciate that that bone now is considered noilad. Now, I know you're going to argue that, yeah, the bone existed already yesterday, and why is it noilad? But the answer is that we look at it as one piece of meat, which had flesh, and yet bones, and we don't look at it existing as an item per se. Now that the flesh has been eaten, the bone is considered a newly born item, and now it's considered noilad, and therefore is mukta. Fine, so noilat, if you hold that noilat doesn't exist on Yom Tov, that has some opinions, you'd be able to move around the bones without hesitation. Lemaisi, we pass him, there is noilat on Yom Tov, and therefore the bones are mukta. So that's what the Mo explains over here. Brad, it's a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. What do you think?
I would think that if it's still got a little bit of meat on it, then it would not be considered, or it should not be considered mukta, because one, if one's really hungry, one could still, you know, scrape off that little bit of meat.
Sounds right. Sounds good. I don't know. Sounds right. Sounds right. I don't know for a fact, but it sounds right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now the Rambam continues with another halacha as follows: regards to muktzah yom, v'chol muktzah she'enu ribalei chayim, any muktzah which is not an animal, kegoin, such as oitzah shel peiros ve'etzim, you've got a storage of fruits or woods, you keep woods for the fireplace, you keep either fruits on the side or you keep woods aside. Now this is not animals, obviously, but it's set aside. Now, sagi, it is sufficient. When you say mikan ninoitel, and I look at it and you say, okay, I'm going to take from here. These are the fruits I'm going to be taking from. These are the woods I'm going to be using. You don't have to actually write it down. You don't have to write it down. So sometimes we expect a person to physically write down or make a very clear note of what he's going to use in order for that not to be mukta, to designate it for use. To designate it for use, and we expect the person to write it down. Here we don't expect that. And so you don't have to write it down. It is sufficient to just physically, verbally state and say, I'm going to take from here. By saying that and by making that verbal statement, that becomes demuktzized. That's not bad. Demuktzized. And it becomes designated for use on Yom Tov, and it's fair enough. That's good. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, interestingly, in the bottom line, Tzivkot and Chof Beis, brings who disagree with that, and he holds that it's not good enough to state it. You've got to actually physically write down. He brings Cholkim on that, and I'm not sure. It sounds a bit like he's machmi at the end. He brings two opinions. He's a bit machmi at the end, but for sure, lechatchila one should not rely on that, and one should really, if you have got a pile of wood or you've got fruits, you should physically write it down. We're going to be using on Yom Tov the following layer, the following that you to designate it clearly which ones you're going to be using on Yom Tov, and not just to rely on the verbal statement. Right. Okay. Now that's it for tonight. We're going to leave the Ramah of Hachona for next year, Be'ez Hashem. Right, okay, this is it for this evening. Just to summarize very quickly, we learned the mukta, which is the not expecting to use, but are usable. This mukta, we are, this chol, this machlok, is as to whether it's forbidden or not on Yom Tov. Lemaise, we are matir this particular type of mukta on Yom Tov. We learned that noilad remains also on Shabbos, just like on Yom Tov, there's no difference. And we learned that when it comes to designation, it's good enough to just state it and not to write it down, although ideally you should try to write it down. Shabbos.